Huntsville, station on 2 for Centrifuge.
We're with you on 2 for the Centrifuge. Go ahead.
I started the Centrifuge run, and it all seemed to be going well and was cleaning up, and I just went over to check on it, and it has an error, number 6, RPM error. Can't reach speed listed on the screen.
We copy, and we did see that on the ground. We will have you go ahead and head back to that configuration activity and start in step 1.8 and complete through the end.
Okay, and that's just retrying to run protocol 3.
And that's correct. We would also like to know if we could have a standby 1. We would like you to manually spin it as you hit start and check the rotor speed at that point.
Copy. It's manually spun and the hitting run. And Huntsville, Chris 1-2, it does. It looks like it looked the last time where it looks to be spinning well at kind of a lowish spin speed, but it's definitely, you know, keeping up the spin. RPM is 100.
We're checking. And Chris, if you could stay around and just give it about 2 minutes while it's spinning and then see if it throws another error, that would be great. And after that, you are good to go.
Copy that. Yeah, I'll check in on it and keep an eye on it for a couple minutes. Thank you. Appreciate the help. So, Chris, on 2, everything looks like it's going nominally with the centrifuge now, so I'm going to step away from it, but yeah, definitely give me a call if you notice anything on the ground. Thank you for the help.
Copy that, Chris, and we see the same.
Huntsville station on 2 for scram.
Huntsville's with you on 2.
Yeah, for those actions that you asked us to perform, we're assuming the Wi-Fi dongle is indeed the small little USB J3 connector. So we removed that, waited 10 seconds and plugged it back in, but the screen the entire time said Wi-Fi connected. So maybe it needs a power cycle.
Copy, we're checking. Copy that. And before we let you go, did you happen to know the LEDs on the dongle? We do need that for just data points down here.
There are no LEDs that I can see on the dongle itself. It's just like a little USB connector with a black cap. Which LEDs do you mean?
Copy that. If you don't see any LEDs, that is okay. We were expecting to see some down here, however. We don't have any further action for you at this time, so you are good to go.
Okay, just let us know if you want us to do something else later. Thanks.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and your SSE at your convenience.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, just wanted to catch you before you hopped on ARED there, but the UOP power down in node 2 will put your SSE and 10 and 17 on battery as of about 1000 hours until we power it up again around 1430. Just wanted to let you know.
Okay, copy. Thanks for the head up on that.
Huntsville, Sophie on 2 for PTLS.
Sophie, we're with you on 2 for PTLS.
That is in lab port 0, is after doing the whole procedure on step 5, the battery LED is green illuminating but flashing with red, and there is an error message which says O2TORR invalid.
Sophie, we copy and we're checking.
Copy. Sophie, on 2, actually, it's the same thing for the one in Starburst 7.
We copy, thank you. We're still checking.
Okay.
Sophie, for those PTLS units, we're going to ask that you power cycle both again and report what you find.
Copy. I'll do the same. I'll power cycle, wait 5 minutes, and we'll report. Sophie, for PTLS, yes.
Copy, Huntsville with you on 2.
One in Starboard 7, still says O2TORR in million. It's saying battery blinking green and orange. So the other one actually is even worse. Let me go and check again if it's updated.
Copy that.
Oh, so it updated since I last checked. So it just says OCTORR invalid. It's actually not the battery LED blinking, it's the one that is close to the switch.
Sophie, thank you so much.
I have to move to my... Go ahead.
I was just going to say thank you so much for the data points. We have no action for you at this time, so you are free to return to whatever you had planned.
Yes, I have to do my Blue Box activities, but as soon as it's done, I'm happy to help for any troubleshooting.
Station Huntsville on Space 2 Ground 2 for Sophie and PTLS.
Huntsville, Sophie and 2 for PTLS.
Sophie, because we are unable to see data specifically on the ground for PTLS, and we believe that the LED status you reported is indicative of a booting process, we would like you to travel back over to the payload and just give us another identification on those LEDs.
Say again, last. So, you want to report the LEDs again?
That's a firm.
Okay, so close to the ISS switch, ISS / battery switch, but not built in this switch, there is an LED, and it's flashing green and orange. Plus, on the screen, there is an OCTORR invalid, and you know what? Let me show it to you on the camera. I'll zoom in and I'll show it to you on the camera. On the lab camera.
Copy that. That's perfect.
Sorry for the headaches, guys.
No worries, Sophie. We appreciate the little adventure. And we copy that blinking LED. Thank you, Sophie. And we copy the cycling display. Thank you. Sophie, thank you so much for the little video tour. That's very helpful on the ground. You are released to the rest of your day. Thank you.
Copy, thanks, and let me know anytime if I can help. I think I managed to finish already a lot of tasks today, so I'll have a lot of great days and happy to help for anything.
And we copy, thank you.
Eastern Station Jackson 2 for mode 2 UOP DPR.
We're with you on 2, Jack.
All right, get started here. The step 1.1. Iris RSU input powered off, serial number 1028, having trouble locating that. Can you give me a suggestion?
We are checking.
Coming out of the node 2 UOP number 2, one of the power ports goes into a 120 volt DC power strip, but it's serial number 1008, not serial number 1028 in this step. And one of those switches is labeled IWIS, so that's as close as I've come so far.
All right, we're checking, Jack. All right, Jack, we're back with you on Space to Ground 2. We think it's node 2 port 3.
Good, check it. Boom shakalaka.
All right.
Here's the station on 2 for SSE.
Go ahead, we're with you on 2.
Yeah, and just wanted to let you know that my SSC does indeed still have power. Just wanted you guys to know for your SA, I think the difference is I recently switched my SSC from 14 to 25, so 25 is in my CQ, and I think it's just a vestige of the past procedure where 25 used to be the one that was affected, but now it's 14, since 14 is plugged into where 25 used to be.
Sweet. Thanks for the data. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries.
My up. Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Sable 4. The Sable 4 CO2 valve has been rotated to close.
We copy.
Station Jackson 2, Port Mulvaney, set up.
We're with you on 2.
I need a go from you in step 2.2, and I will also ask in 2.4, I'm plugging this in to node 2 UOP 1 on the port side after I've just depowered everything at UOP 2 on the starboard side. I guess my initial guess was I was unpowering things on UOP2 to plug this thing into it, but I guess unpowering things was related to the RPCM work later, and this is correct, go to a different UOP for the portable fan.
Sorry about the wait there, Jack. Yeah, so unpowering UOP2 was to support the RPCM activity later, and unpowering UOP1 is for the fan install to avoid a rush of current when we start that later. And we'd like you to complete all of 2.4 and also give us a call back when you are complete with that.
Right. I will do all of 2.4 and then I will give you a call before I get into 2.5. Aaron, can I have some help with the location of the cobalt brick, serial number 1336 in the XTP, step 243, 2.4.3?
Okay, we're checking, Jack. Hey, Jack, we're back with you on 2. Listen, our apologies. We think there might be an error in this procedure in terms of which cobalt bricks you're working with. We're going to call the on-call Pluto to make sure we get you the right label. In the meantime, if it's possible, could you put a camera over your shoulder so we could see the config that you've got right now?
Yeah, of course, I'm happy to do that. What do you want a video of, like the fan area or where overhead 4 is going to be, or what are you guys looking for exactly for view?
We are primarily interested in the cobalt bricks right now, so you wouldn't mind seeing the config that you've got in front of you.
Okay.
The station Houston on 2 for Jack and mystery cobalt bricks.
Mystery to me, but no to you.
That's what you think. If you could head back to the junction box, serial number 1014, can you just let us know what's plugged into that, please?
Junction box 1014, switch one. There's nothing on it, but it's labeled Nikon battery charger. 2 and 3 are empty. 4 has the 120 volt DC to AC inverter, serial number 1018.
Okay, thanks for that report, Jack. This is an interesting config we weren't expecting, so we're going to need a couple more minutes to talk it down here. It might be a good time for a coffee.
Okay, thanks. Next station on 2 for PQ4.
We're with you on 2.
And I'm ready to disconnect USB hard drive from CMAU laptop.
We copy and stand by.
Sergei Munich with you on 2, and you are go.
Copy, go. Next station on 2 for PK4.
With you on 2, go ahead.
Hard drive is disconnected and stored per storage node. Thank you.
Copy, and thank you for your support.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jack.
Station Jack is on the news.
Hey, Jack. We're wondering if you could head back to the previous activity you were doing there. Find the PCS on the J3 connection. Follow that line up, and whatever's on the far end of that line, power it off.
Okay, can you be more specific about the previous activities at the UOP2 station or a different activity?
My bad, Jack. That's the UOP1 that you were working on. Just because we aren't 100% sure on those cobalt bricks, the alternate that we have to make sure everything's powered off is to follow whatever is on the J3 connection from the PCS and on the far side of that, power it off.
Station Jack on 2.
Go ahead. We're with you on 2.
Coming out of UOP, the node 2 UOP1, the J3 port, is a black cable that splits into a slightly smaller black cable and then two even smaller red cables. The black cable is connected to a cobalt brick, serial number 1340, that has a crew label on it that says PCS. And the two smaller red cables go to something called a USB to 1553 adapter, serial number 1027.
All right, Jack, thanks for that report. This is interesting. I think we're going to wait for Pluto to arrive before we continue with this activity. So we're actually going to have you step into your next activity, the RPCM R&R. This PFA fan obviously is part of the CCAA ventilation situation, but we should be good to continue without that fan right now and just have you step into the RPCM stuff instead. We don't want to waste all your time trying to figure out what's going on with those cobalt bricks, et cetera.
Okay, happy to do that. It looks like my timeline is just to gather right now, and then I start the RPCM around 1. Happy to start that now if you prefer, or for timeline, what do you guys, what's your sense?
We'll get you to go ahead and start that gather, please.
Okay, the gather's complete, and so I can move on to the RPCM R&R itself, or I can just break for lunch. Over to you guys, whatever you think is best for the timeline for your, from your perspective.
Understand that the gather is complete. That's great. You can step into your lunch then. We'll pick this up on the other side, and we'll have a better story for you for the PFA as well.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks for all the research.
And Jack, as you're floating there, we'll let you know when that CCAA comes off, just because it might get a little stuffy without that fan operating. And that's going to be Node 2 and Crew Dragon.
We appreciate that. Heads up.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2, no response required. We are turning off the CCAA reminder, just as Capcom just mentioned before. It's going to get a little bit stuffy on Node 2, and you're primed for smoke detection on Node 2 and Crew Dragon.
Station copy, CCAA disabled.
Thank you, Chris. And hey, while I have you there, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the conversation we were having with Jack. This is just listening only for you guys. Is a the PFA was an item we were going to add to increase ventilation on the Note 2 and the Crew Dragon. It is not an item that is required for the R&R, but it's mainly for increasing ventilation. As you heard us already, we had a lot of fun trying to understand what's on the UOP-1 to connect the PFA, so we're going to wait for Pluto to arrive, but again, it's not on the critical path. It is an item to increase your ventilation. And then the second item, since I just see Jack in the corner of my screen here, is UOP-2 is the activity that Jack was doing before. I just want to make sure that UOP-2 is fully power off, so we can proceed with the turn off with the R&R safing.
Node 2 UOP-2 is fully powered off. Node 2 UOP-1 is not.
Copy. That's the config that we were expecting. Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Copy all. Yeah. Thanks so much. Appreciate the context. I think we'll probably just set up some like USB portable fans or that sort of thing to keep some good airflow in the area while people are working there.
That sounds like a good plan. Thanks, guys.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2. Just for the awareness of the crew, we're going to start some of our ground commanding. You will notice some of the lights in Node 2 will turn off.
And Station Jackson 2 for our R&R timing.
Jack, with you on 2. Go ahead.
Just want to make sure I understand the commanding you guys just did the Node 2 is the start of the 35-minute timer for RPCM cooldown prior to the maintenance. Is that right, or can I start a little early, or what's your guys' thoughts on that?
Checking. And, Jack, we think the temperature's good, but safing is not in place yet, so we just want to wait a couple more minutes. We probably can start early, but let us give you a call back once we're in a good config and see if we can start early.
Great. No rush. Happy to do it when you guys are ready or on your timeline, but I'll love just to wait for your call.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack and RPCM R&R.
Houston Station on 2 for Cygnus Village.
Jessica, good afternoon. With you on 2.
Good afternoon to you, sir. I am in step 10 of SOTRAC, so I'm getting ready to start loading P5. And there's some stuff down there which I'm assuming is just temp zoned, but it's starting to get a little bit tricky on like what's temp zoned and what's trash. So I just want to make sure that we don't trash something that we're not supposed to. I am assuming that the planar hut 2027 is not trash, and there's also an 8.0 5018 that has some water resupply tanks in it. I think that those were temp stowed from some earlier airlock or beam or PMM activities, and I'm just wondering if there is a home, a different home for those, because it would be great to get them out of the way to help make, they kind of are in the way blocking things for Cygnus. So, yeah, if we have another location, then that would be awesome.
And Jessica, you read our minds for the Cygnus Stowage Conference that's about to start. It will tackle those problems. We're going to work on ways to get Cygnus a little bit more accessible for you guys, so we should be able to solve it then.
Okay, awesome. So for right now, can you confirm that both of those things are indeed not trash, and I can at least just move them out of Bay 5 for now so that I can pack Bay 5?
Copy. Yeah, we will check specifically on that. Stand by. Yeah, and Jessica, it was kind of obvious to us as well, but we were just triple-checking. Neither of those items you mentioned should be trash, so good intuition there.
Okay, copy. I'll just kind of move them up a little bit higher in Cygnus, and then if we have a longer-term solution soon, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Sounds like a plan. Station Houston on 2 for Jack and RPCM R&R and TFA words, if ready.
With you on 2.
Hey, Jack. First thing is the temperature is good. Safing is in place, so you can pick up in step 1.1 for the RPCM R&R. We are ready when you are. And then the second thing is that we do have some deltas to hopefully get the PFA all set up and ventilation for you. Kind of your call if you want to just start on the R&R without ventilation right now. We can wait until Sophie's done with her conference, and then she can come help you out and set up the fan in tandem while you're doing the R&R, or you can do the PFA first if you feel like it's going to be too stuffy. So totally your call.
Christmas is right here with me, so we'll do that fan right now, I guess. That'll might as well. We got it out. Might as well see how it works.
Okay, great. And glad that Chris is with you as well. So the one delta or error we found is if you go to the PFA setup activity, in step 2.4, it lists the COBOL brick with the serial number 1336. That serial number for the COBOL brick should actually be 1340-1340.
Okay, 1340 sounds good. And we will turn that one off and go through the rest of the PFA procedure. Do you want me to check in with you again? I think earlier they wanted me to do that and then check in with you before I did step 2.5.
Yeah, Jack, no need to call us. You're go to step to 2.5 once you power off that COBOL brick. And just for some context, we think the numbers for the COBOL bricks just got messed up a little bit as we moved around PCSs throughout station, and we just weren't tracking it correctly.
No worries. That makes sense to me. Station, Jack, 2 for the PFA setup, step 2.4.
We're listening.
Just want to double check that we've got the correct things off. We did the XTP step there, all the switches on the 120 volt DC to AC inverter are off, serial number 1018. On the PS120 junction box, all four, serial number 1014, all those switches are off. We switched off the COBOL brick with the new serial number that you mentioned. And so it seems like the next step is that we're going to plug in the fan. But we haven't, that PS120 junction box is still receiving power from the UOP. And I guess we're kind of used to two levels of things being off before we plug things like the fan in. Just want to make sure that you are happy that the PS120 junction box is powered, and that individual switch is off that we're going to plug into.
Yeah, and Jack, great question. There's actually an inrush of current when we power on the PFA, so we're just trying to reduce loading here. That's the only objective. So by powering off some of this hardware, it reduces the loading.
Okay, that clarifies it. So we're going forward.
Sounds good, and we are 60 seconds away from that 13 milliwatts.
Houston station on 2, just calling for a check in step 1.1 that we are going to be replacing RPCM No 2, 2 Alpha, 3 Bravo, underscore Charlie.
Hey, Chris, good number. You are go.
Copy. Go to continue.
Console station on 2 for LFG.
And Jessica, hospital's with you on two.
The LSU work volume is deployed.
And we copy. Thanks.
Houston, Chris on two. I just wanted to see if you guys would be okay if I got going on the No 2 firewall on our little early.
Jackie? And Chris, no issues with you starting the firewall activity early.
Sounds good. I will get the firewall back up and running.
Send Sophie M2 for GPS RNR just as a heads up for a camera.
Sophie, go ahead.
I just prepared Lab Cam 2. If you want to, you are welcome to join on board.
Sophie, we will take that camera view, and while I have you, step one, the safing is in place and we're in good config, so you are go.
Wow, amazing. Okay, good to go and starting now.
Houston, Chris on two for the Node 2 JS cell firewall number two.
Chris, go ahead.
I am complete in step 5.2. The new firewall is plugged in and powered on. Just to note, are we expecting any of the lights to be coming on other than the power light? The state that the failed one was in only had the power light illuminated, and that is also the case with the replacement. The power light's illuminated, but none of the other status lights are illuminated, and none of the lights next to the Ethernet connectors are illuminated. Whereas on firewall one, it has a green STA light and blinking lights right at all the Ethernet plugs.
Hey Chris, good question. We're checking. Stand by. Yeah, and Chris, thanks for waiting there. We need to do some configuration from the ground, after which you would see some light. So the configuration right now is what we'd expect.
Okay, that's good news. And also, the light while you guys were chatting, the lights, a bunch of lights just came on, so it's looking better than the old one was.
Copy. Yeah, we wished it into existence, and it looks like it happened, so thank you.
It's great when it works out that way. Thank you, guys.
Send Cynthia on two.
Go ahead on two.
That's complete. Just need to do the final stowage, but all went normal.
Copy all, Sophie. Thank you, and thanks for participating in getting that done early.
Thanks to you for offering this. This was great, and it was a fun activity to do, so it made me happy. Thank you. Thanks to the amazing OSOTs. We love working with you, with all the teams, actually, but we also, maintenance is fun. Thank you.
Yeah, Sophie, be careful what you wish for when you say maintenance is fun, because we have plenty of things we can put on your timeline that might change your opinion on that.
Go ahead. Let's do it.
All right, challenge accepted. And Sophie, thank you. That is a good serial number.
Great news. Thanks again. Later.
Station Houston on two for Jack and UOP2.
Excellent, the Deuce. Do you talk about Deuce?
Yes, sir. Just wanted to say that the R&R looks good. Everything's looking good so far, so really appreciate the help with that, and that we are ready for UOP2 and Node Deuce to be repowered early if you want to tackle that now, or we can wait till the timeline start time for that.
Okay, cool. Node 2 UOP2 safe and repower activities go. Knock that out.
Good feedback. Thank you.
Houston Station, Sophie M2 for stowage.
Sophie, go ahead.
I just wanted to double check my understanding for the final location of the SIGI GPS cushion. It says in the stow notes PMM1, VIC1_aft. Do you mean by that behind the rack?
Yeah, Sophie, good question, and that is a good read aft behind the rack.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll do it. Yep.
And Sophie, if you're still listening, we understand it's going to take a while for you to get back there, so appreciate it. We're not going to access this hardware anytime soon, so it's the worth the time invested to get it back there and out of the way.
Houston, Sophie M2. I don't know if you got my last, but I said, yeah, I was joking. I have plenty of time to do that and to rotate the rack, and so no worries at all. It's going to be a fun adventure.
Well, you asked for more IFM funds, so this is somewhat related to that. And, yeah, sorry for walking you into that teacher's hand over there, but we do appreciate all the help.
No worries, and thanks to you for the help.
Houston Station, Jackson 2 for a preview.
Jack, go ahead.
Step 2.1, I am informing you of my intent to discharge this PDA, serial number 3016.
Good number, copy intent, and you are go. We'll be watching.
Okay, thanks. This is like the other PBAs we depleted earlier in the expedition, right? We have an opportunity to try breathing on them for a few minutes if you want.
Yeah, Jack, if you want to don the PBA as an experience on ISS, you are more than welcome to do so.
ISS experience. Stand station, checks on 2-4, PPA stowage.
Go ahead.
Having trouble finding the Teflon bags in line 7 of the stow note in the half CTV 5249. Any chance you have an alternate location?
Checking. Might take us a minute or two.
Stand station 2 for rodent trap questions.
We're listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, that only took one JSP, and I have a few more things, that the stuff we're keeping I have to stow, but I have a couple questions of stuff that was not listed. I think I know the answer to some of them, but just wanted to make sure I checked. One of them
and
is
Jessica,
a mouse transfer box.
Break
bridge.
Real quick. Actually, let's hand you off to POIC, just make sure they're listening, ready to answer. I think the answers to your questions might be more in their wheelhouse, so apologies.
Does that make sense? Huntsley with me?
And we are with you.
Okay, a couple of questions on the items for trash. There's one bag that has a mouse transfer box grid. This activity has brought back a lot of memories from my previous mission. This was not listed in the activity. I'm assuming it's just trash since most of the very rodent-specific stuff is.
And you're probably right. We are double-checking, but we'll have something for you here shortly.
Okay, it's just a little box block and box grid. There's one grid and two blocks. Then I also found a support. Oh, I guess this was support called out. Forget that. That it was called out. There's a random Ziploc little cap and plug. Looks like kind of a standard electrical connector cap and plug that are mated together.
And we are checking. If you want to give us a better look, you can hold it up to the camera so we can verify. But we're checking on that as well.
Okay. I'm going to throw a couple things over to the camera. Stand by.
And while you get ready for that, the item that you mentioned first, you can go ahead and trash that, the boxing grid.
Okay. I'll trash that one. Okay. Here is that little cap and plug. This is like, you know, caps for two ends of an electrical connector.
Okay, so for now, let's go ahead and hang on to that one.
Okay, then there's one bungee. The block that was full of bungees, but there's maybe one or a couple bungees in there.
And what's the identifier on that one?
Our code is 18 Lima Sierra Golf 202 Mike. It says 5-inch bungees.
Okay, we're copying, and we are checking on that one.
And the other question, there were some life science filter caps, male, and then one that's just a life science filter cap, and then there was this life science filter stack, and those were listed, but they were different barcodes than the ones in the stow track. I'm assuming that these are all just trash since they were listed with different numbers, but I just wanted to check.
And just to confirm, was it the same quantity, just different numbers?
Confirm.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, you'll go to trash that.
Okay, I think
I think that's it for questions. I'll let you guys know if I have anything else, and I'll just temp stow the ones we said temp stow for now, and then we can decide when you guys get back to us.
Okay, and just for a quick update, Jessica, that bungee is already labeled as trash, so you're good to go ahead and trash that.
Okay, copy. Trash to the bungee. Slow station on 2 for the stowage.
We're with you on 2. Go ahead.
So there does seem to be one extra cap in here. Per stow track, it looks like there should be 5 caps total. Or no, 4 caps total. In line items 3.05 and 3.06, it says one male filter cap, and then the other one has 2 males and 1 filter cap. But I actually have 3 male filter caps and 2 of the life science filter caps.
And Jessica, you should be able to trash that. Let us double check here really quick.
Okay, copy.
Station, Huntsville on space to ground 2 for Jessica and Rodent trash activity.
Go ahead on 2.
Yes, I want to first thank you for all of your attention to detail, and we have confirmed that every item that we discussed earlier can be trashed.
All right, copy. Go to trash. Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack and Teflon bags.
Yeah, on 2.
Hey, Jack, sorry about the wait. We just wanted to make sure we had somewhat of a complete story. So first thing, in that same CTB, the one half, seal number 5249, there should be a 4x4-inch Ziploc bag that has those Teflon bags inside of it. Just wanted to double-check that you did indeed check down to that level of looking for a small 4x4-inch Ziploc bag contained within the bag you're already looking in.
Well, I can give it another look as well, just to make sure.
Copy. And before you do, in that same area, but in the Bravo 1 locker, there's a 1.0 CTB, serial number 5385. And if the first bag doesn't work, we think it could be in that other one, 5385.
Okay, I will look for the 4x4-inch Ziploc containing the Teflon bags in the half CTB 5249, and if I'm unsuccessful, same area, overhead 2 in the PMM, Bravo 15385. I'll try there.
Good read back, and if both of those fail, we do have an option C ready to go, but we'll take that in stride, and hopefully you don't need to use it.
Sounds good.
Station, this is Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie at your convenience, looking for a little help with Scram.
Huntsville, station on 2 for Rodent Trash.
We're with you on 2, go ahead.
Yeah, just one last question. For line items 4.14 and 4.15, those were going into 0.55183, which is in 2.04071. However, the location listed is incorrect. I just wanted to make sure that you weren't wanting me to move that. That 2.04071 is in aft 2, Bravo 1, Charlie 1. It says here aft 1, Delta. So just making sure you didn't want me to move it. Maybe I'm assuming that was just a typo there.
And Jessica, you're correct. That is a confirmed typo on our end. Apologies.
Okay, yeah, no worries. I was in that bag earlier today, so I knew where it was. All good.
Sounds good. Thanks. Station, this is Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and Time on Active.
Right on 2.
Yes, ma'am. A couple things for you. See that you went through your timeline pretty fast today, and we thank you for that. We did have some time left in the Rotor Research Hardware Trash Activity. And just wanted to let you guys know that there is an activity tomorrow that's actually on Sophie and Chris's timeline to trash some more items, some FCF trash items. And just wanted to offer up that you guys could get ahead with that on tomorrow's timeline. We'll kind of balance that out. But that's totally up to you.
Okay, yeah, we'll discuss that one. We might just leave it for tomorrow at this point because I think people have kind of picked up other things. But I was going to ask if I could do the Melfi retrieve early.
Yep, you can take care of that as soon as you want. That'll be great. I also had another item for Scram if you're ready to go.
Yeah, go ahead for scrub.
All right, so this morning, during morning DPC, note that you executed the request to reseat the USB dongle for us. We did have some forward steps from the PD that we'll try to regain connection. We wanted to actually replace that dongle, and we have location where the replacement is. But we're going to go ahead and replace that USB dongle and then read the results from the screen and the LED light to see if we can regain connection.
Okay. So you want me to get the replacement first, or you was that you wanted me to look at the screen before we do the replacement?
Yeah, we can go ahead and get the replacement. That would be an Express Rack 1. The location is Lab 1 Overhead 2, the M1 drawer. Should be in a Ziploc bag labeled Spacecraft Atmosphere Monitor, and we could just grab any of the USB dongles from that bag.
Okay, Lab 1 Overhead 2, M1 drawer, and what was the bag labeled?
It should be labeled Spacecraft Atmosphere Monitor.
Okay, copy. And then how about the rest of the steps?
So after that, we're going to have you to replace the current USB dongle that is there, unplug that one, disconnect it, and wait about 5 to 10 seconds. Place the new one in, and then let us know what we see on the screen and the status of the LED.
Okay, copy, and I'll put that in work. And, you know, what we were seeing this morning was that it said that it was connected to Wi-Fi even when the dongle was not in it. So we were kind of thinking that maybe it was more of a problem with the unit, like it needed to be power cycled, because whether or not the dongle was in, it said that it had Wi-Fi connectivity.
And Jessica, we copy that. We'd have to do some additional steps if we power cycle the unit. So whenever we replace this dongle, just give us that status and let us know if it still says the same thing, and we'll take the, that information back to the PD.
Okay, sure thing. I'll do that now. On Civil Station on 2 for Scram.
We're with you on 2. Go ahead.
Yeah, as we kind of suspected, I took out the old dongle. Before I took it out, it said network Wi-Fi connected and state MCA with in a green background. I took it out. It remained the same. I put the new one in, and it remained the same.
Okay, Jessica, that's all great information. Thanks for taking care of that for us. What we'll do, we'll give this information back to the payload developer, and we'll go forward from there. In the meantime, the one that we took out, could we please put it in a Ziploc bag and label it DNU, do not use, so we'll have for reference on the ground.
Okay, yeah, the one that I removed, it looks like it's 001. It almost looks like a 2, but Chris and I both think it's 001. It's kind of written on there. The one that I put in is 005. And where would you like me to put the other one that I labeled do not use?
And we can put that one back in the same Ziploc bag, in that same kit.
Okay, just so you know, that drawer is really difficult to access because of that, like, rat's nest area that we've talked about before. I managed to get into it, but now I can't get the drawer all the way closed. It's in an okay state the way it is because it has that cover over it, so nothing can come out, but it's pretty hard to work in there just because there's so many cables and laptops, like, that are right in the area where you would have to pull the drawer out.
Okay, we copy all, and we'll take that back to our team. Thank you for the additional work and dedication.
Hey, you're welcome.
Houston, Chris on 2 for EVA batteries and Medox.
Chris, for batteries, step 24, battery maintenance is complete, and go for termination, and we will take your question and or serial number report for Medox.
Copy. I was just wondering if it was all right to get an early start on either or both of those, and copy your go in step 24. So I'm gonna just press with that, and we'll let you know.
Houston Station, Jack on 2 for PBA. So it's short.
Jack, go ahead.
I found the Teflon bags in the first alternate location you gave me, the 1.0 CTD 5385. That's in overhead 2, Bravo 1, in the PMM. I left the bag. I took what I needed and left the bag in there. Let me know if you want me to move it to the half CTV in the sonar.
Copy all good news and checking on your question.
fuel station on 2. I was able to get that door closed, just letting you know there is a locking mechanism on the side that I was able to discover. So that is closed now, but it is still a difficult access area.
Copy that. Thanks.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack and answer to the Teflon bag question.
CEO Oracle of Houston.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that 1.05385 is a good location, so we'll just update our ground products for tracking, and you can leave them as is. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks, sir. Houston, airlock on 2 for battery charger.
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, in step 28, I was pretty sure I went down to status and self-tested at Ender, but it took me to the task select screen. And I seem to be stuck on the task select screen. And the only options I have are, selecting a mode of charge, clear, auto cycle, or discharge. And just wondering what the best way to proceed is. There's not an obvious way to just go back.
Okay, Chris. You can select any of those tasks. It doesn't matter which one. And then after that, it should allow you to select the option for go to home afterwards.
Okay, that's what I figured. Yeah, the UI on this thing is just not particularly friendly.
Yep, we're looking at the figure of the screenshot of it, and I agree.
Houston, Chris, on to for battery charger, step 32. I did have a fail in the self-test for 7280 alpha chips. Just wondering if I should do the star block or something else.
And copy all, Chris. We would like you to perform the star block to see all the faults and then give us a call back and we'll discuss further steps.
Go. Houston, Chris on 2. I've got a faults page if you guys are ready to copy.
We're ready.
All right, so I've got a page that says faults-page 2, and then 026HR colon 16min, so 26 hours, 16 minutes. And then the letter C, and then H/W:00F8. And then I have another one, same time, 26 hours, 16 minutes. Then it's Mike:00020.
Okay, Chris, copy all. Give us a minute or two to digest that, and we'll get back to you.
Copy all, and none of the fault LEDs are illuminated either.
Copy. Good context. Thank you. Airlock Houston for Chris, back with you.
Chris is with you.
Hey, good news. These are known faults. We've actually seen them before. No concerns, and you are go to proceed to step 33.
Copy. Going to go ahead and proceed with step 33. Houston, airlock on to question step 37.
We are with you in step 37.
Yeah, so it looks like this charger has two LLDs and two LPGTs, and when I went to look at the delta amp hours, both of the LLDs reported negative 0.01, effectively negative zero delta amp hours at a time elapsed of zero, whereas both of the LPGTs did actually have like 3.85 and 3.87 delta amp hours. Just wondering if that was expected, because that seems strange to me.
And Chris, great question. That's actually expected based on the config we had and what we had the unit charged today.
Okay, so we didn't charge the LEDs, just the LPGTs. Makes sense.
Good readback. Station Houston on 2 for any available crew and XPWD help in about 15 minutes.
Station, Station, Sophie's with you on 2.
Hey, Sophie, sounds like you're volunteering. Just some background here. OSO is putting in some configuration that will help us potentially recover XPWD, which would require a power cycle. We're not quite ready for that yet. We think about 15 minutes or so. Just wanted to give you that heads up. We'll call you back when we're ready, and then we'll be asking for your help.
Great, yeah. I'll be happy to help on this one.
Great. We'll call you back in 15 minutes.
Okay, thanks. And do you have a procedure to reference, or is it just an easy thing on off switch or whatever?
Yeah, good question. We'll have something in place for you, and we'll call that up shortly.
Houston airlock on 2, hoping to step into the Medox region. I just wanted to check if that's okay and if you guys are set in step 1.
Yeah, Chris, we are ready. You're go in step 2.
Copy. Continuing in step 2.
Control system 2 for payload mass.
We're with you on 2. Go ahead.
I was wondering if I had the go to start the payload NAS receipt, the hard drive number 2.
And so stand by, we're checking.
Thank you.
Station Huntsville on space to ground 2, back with Sophie and payload NAS.
This is 1-2.
Yes, just wanted to let you know that you're good to get started, and the check URC in 1.3.1 is confirmed. The AC inverter is off, and the temperatures are less than 45 degrees Celsius, so you are go at that step as well.
Okay, go for the procedure. Thank you. So from Sophie, I was ready to infer that, but I see a lot of this on all of the HDDs, and I have the vacuum cleaner with me, so instead of reseating only number 2, I would suggest to reseat all of them and vacuum clean around all of them. How does it sound?
And we copy, Sophie. We're checking here on the ground.
Please.
And Sophie Huntsville is back with you on 2.
With you on 2?
Yes, we've confirmed here on the ground. We don't have a problem with going ahead and vacuuming around all of the drives, and I wanted to correct something that I said earlier, that 1.3.1, I was telling you that the AC inverter is off, but you'll be checking with us after you turned it off for us. So my mistake.
So I understand you turned it off, like, all of this, right? You want me to, okay, I also can put the inverter off.
That's correct. Once it's off, you'll let us know.
Okay, that's done now.
Copy. Thanks.
Station Houston on 2 for any available crew. While Sophie's working payloads, we can use some help with XPWD.
I'm done, so I'm ready to help for the next one.
Hey, Sophie. Perfect timing. So in the IFM book, there's procedure 11.442. And it's pretty self-explanatory. It's XPWD power cycle. We are ready for you to execute that as written, including the step 1.1 LED report.
Copy 11.442 and all of the steps, including the initial report.
Yep, and it's 11.442, so 2 fours there.
And just to close the loop, until from Sophie, that's the payload mass is currently boosting, so boosting cycle in progress. I'll do the XPWD test and then I'll come back to check the lights.
And Sophie Houston on 2 for 1 Delta from my last call.
She's ready for the Delta.
Hey Sophie, pretty easy one. We would like the capacitors to fully drain, plus have some KU on the back end before we repower XPWD. So for now, just perform step 1 and then hold off on step 2, which is the repower, and then we'll sync up once we have KU on the other side.
Okay, just performing step 1 and we'll stand by for the rest starting step 2.
Good, be back.
This is from Sophie. I'm ready for the LED status check.
Ready.
I do see the first one, XPWD power green. For the AdLink mini PC, power and data, so the power is on LED blue. The thing that is surprising to me is that I have the 2 Ethernet cables that are connected are solid red, blinking orange, so I don't see any green on this thing. The dispense hot button is not lit, so this is another difference that I have. It's not lit at all, so neither white nor anything. The dispense ambient is nominal blue, iodine filter life is yellow, fault, there is no fault. So it's not lit, and ground control is not lit as well.
Yeah, and Sophie, that's not what we were expecting, so we're going to think about that a little bit more. We'll have more words for you shortly, so stand by.
Yes, standing by.
And Sophie, I think you know this, but just to be clear, we do not want you to power it off at this time, so we'll hold off on that as well.
Yes, thank you for clarifying. That was also my understanding, but it's always good to double-check.
Copy.
Huntsville from Sophian 2, I see the disk number 2 LED is orange with a subject orange LED. All of the other disks are green and none are blinking, just disk number 2.
And Sophie, Huntsville's with you here on 2. We couldn't quite hear you. Could you read that back for us?
Yeah, disc number 2 LED is still solid orange, not green at all. Solid orange for LED disc number 2.
Okay, Sophie, we copy that, thanks.
So before you turned it off, it was the same observation for the disc number 2 LED was solid orange.
Okay, we copy. Thanks for that information.
Station Houston on 2 for Sophie and XPWD.
Sophie's with Antic.
Hey, Sophie. Of course, these TDRS LOSs come at the perfect time, but you are now go to perform the power off per step 1 for XPWD. Once you do that, we'll have to wait a little bit. We should pick up KU shortly, and then we'll talk about step 2. And then also, while I have you and for all crew, and speaking of TDRS, TDRS 275, we just got notice from the network, is currently unavailable. We're working to backfill some of the lost time because we have a couple of passes coming up. Nonetheless, Optimus may be a little bit inaccurate, and it'll probably impact the start of the Flight Director Conference, which starts on that TDRS. How copy?
The unexpected problems with TDRS 275, we'll take a look. And I'm go to power off OFF the XPWD and standing by for the rest. And I do confirm now I see the descent hot button is lit with nominal white.
Yep, copy all. Thank you. And you are go per step 1.2 to power it off.
Here we go.
Stand station JetCon 2 with a cable disconnect request.
We're listening. Go ahead.
Doing some cable organizing here in node 1, and I'm looking at the 20-port network switch, node 1 port side, serial number is 1007. I'd like to go to disconnect the Ethernet cord that's in slot 9, and that's serial number 167207. Just to route it around a couple cables and then replug it right there.
And Jack, copy the request. Just give us a second to double check, and we'll get back to you.
Okay. Well, the team's double checking. Can I give you a couple other questions?
Absolutely. We'll take them.
There's a loose cable down here. It's a USB 3.0 for the Alpha, serial number 1062, looking for a stowage spot.
Okay. Copy.
Second question is.
Go ahead, Jack.
And second question, there's a cobalt brick, number 1432, plugged into a ZBook power cable in the T4D area of node 1. And obviously there's no laptop down here. Just wondering what the long-term intent of that series of cables is.
And copy that as well. We'll get back to you on all three shortly.
Okay, and I know this last one's probably a bigger ask, so maybe a future line of effort, but how difficult would it be to power off the UOP at the port 4 to reroute a couple cables? We think it's UOP 2. And I recognize that's probably a bit of a science project, so we can answer in the next couple of days.
Yeah, Jack, you're reading our minds there, and copy the bigger picture of just reorganizing and rerouting in node 1. So we'll take that back, and yeah, agree it might not be today, but we'll definitely take that and try to figure out a plan to get everything buttoned up in node 1 from a cabling standpoint.
Okay, perfect. Thanks very much.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack, and two answers out of your four questions.
Sir.
Hey, so that slot 9 Ethernet cable, you are go to unplug it and plug it back in. Just context, it's associated with the Node 1 WAP. As long as it's around 30 seconds or so where you unplug it, everything should be good. Just obviously the things that are connected to it will go offline, but they should reconnect once you plug in that Ethernet cable.
Okay, copy. I'm go to plug that, unplug it, plug it back in less than 30 seconds. That should not be a problem.
Copy. We'll be timing you. And then the second one for that USB serial number 1062, you can simply stow that in the USB pantry.
Pantry it is. Thank you, sir.
Yep, and we're still thinking about the cobalt brick question, so we owe the answer on that. Get back to you. No need to come back to date you.
Yeah, okay, I appreciate it, and I recognize that one. No rush at all. Thanks.
Copy all.
Station, Pounceable on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and crew don't answer.
Pounceable, Chris is with you on 2.
Yes, sir, I just wanted to connect with you really quick for your conference coming up in regards to the crew note that you left us earlier. You are go to trash those used UCD drain adapters. Just let us know how many that are used that you'll be trashing. Just need two layers of containment, and you can trash those in the WHC-JSB.
Okay, I'm sorry, I already put it, and I'm not sure if I can go and see if I can find the one that was used. It would only be one, and I will go check and see if I can tell which one was the one. Thank you for that, though. I appreciate it.
And, Chris, if it's too much work, we can just get something on the plan to make sure that we trash it. Just want to make sure that we gave you some kind of context or answer from your crew note earlier.
Super appreciate it. It should be quick to take a look. I'll go take a look after VPC, and I'll just crew note it down. Hopefully that I identified it and trashed it. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
No problem. Thank you.
It's from Sophie. Do you want me to restart the PWD before the directional conference starts, or would you rather wait?
Sophie, perfect timing. We met our 5-minute clock, so you're go to pick up in step 2 to repower XPWD.
Copy, you go step 2 to repower. This is from Sophie. So the power LED is green. There is no LED on the Epic Mini PC power / data. The iodine filter life is orange. Oh, right. Now it's the end of the test, and I will give you the new status. Okay. Good status for good green light for XPWD power. The dispense hot is solid white. Dispense ambient solid blue. Iodine filter life is yellow, orange, and so no. The light for power data of Adlink Mini PC is off OFF.
And Sophie, thank you for that. We'll review the data on the ground here, and we'll let you know if we need any more help after the conferences today. And just a heads up, due to that TDRS 275 being offline for now, in 2 minutes or a minute and a half or so, we won't pick up on the next satellite right away. There'll probably be a 2-minute LOS on top of that. So just not a nominal 20-second TDRS handover.
Okay, expecting some LOSs more than what we have usually. Thank you.
Yep, and I may have misspoke there. Expect to have COM at 19:05.
See, this COM at 19:05. Thank you.
Houston Station on 2 for the conference. We unfortunately don't seem to be able to get into the conference, and I think our clock is rapidly running out on it.
Copy all. Can you report any error you're seeing?
The standard, you're on Teams waiting to be let into the meeting, but nobody lets you in. Tried on a couple iPads.
Checking. Yeah, if you guys want to try power cycling an iPad and then trying again, we think that might fix it. We just changed some configuration to the meeting. And apologies, meeting invite is the same, but we think power cycling an iPad would help it.
Okay, it's multiple iPads it's not working on. I think, unfortunately, looking at the time, by the time we power cycle it, it might be over.
Okay, copy all. Sorry about that. We'll try and pick up that flight director conference after evening EPC then.
Okay, yeah, we'll try for that. Houston, Chris on 2. We do not have message 74-0644 on board anymore. At least I can't find virtual ATU on our onboard messages.
Okay, Chris, sorry about that. Is there any message you can get to that's not a PMC that would be shareable with others? We can probably just use that one as a Band-Aid.
Hey, unfortunately, I'm not sure that we do. Yeah, if there's a meeting ID, you can read us or something or get us somehow. We can try to join, but I think the flight director one is kind of the main one that we have other than our PMC, our private ones. Yeah, Houston, Chris on 2, would the ESA crew conference link from this morning, from Sophie's timeline at 0945, would that work?
You know, Chris, that's a great idea. Let's try that one.